He's
Yeah,
coming in here later.
I'm
Whatever.
using Golem Rav by Rosner Sefer, and he says he wants to look at the word hukas, right? And he says there's two meanings. One is a haik, meaning a halacha that we're not given interpretation for. And he says the second meaning of chukat, it says, the Torah says that the, right, chakika, engraved. In other words, we were told that the letters were engraved on the luchot. And he quotes Shlomo Zevin in his Sefer LaTorah Gelamavadim, says that these two interpretations are not exclusive one of the other, and especially when we look at the area of doing mitzvahs, they're intertwined. He says, let's talk about chakika, engraving. And he says, there's two methodologies offhand. One is when we write with, say, pen, ink, or even the old days, a quill on top of paper. Or else, we can take a chisel and engrave into a stone. He says there's a vast difference between these. He says, in today's day and age, there's probably nothing we can't erase off the piece of paper. And so the ink and the paper never merge to become one entity that can't be separated. Alternatively, once we put a letter into the stone, it's there. And unless we destroy the stone too, we can't eradicate the letter. He says, I want to talk about Mishle. He says, we're given the following. It says, Katven aluach libecha. Inscribe them on the luach, the tablet in your heart. And this is referring to Torah. Torah is required to become part and parcel of our heart. And he says, our heart and Torah have to become like the stone accepting the letter chiseled in. He says, how do we get there? Rav Zevin says, if we look at the halachas in the Torah and the advice, right? If we, as chukim, if we view them as being things that we need not understand but need to do, that's the methodology via which they become engraved in our hearts. He says, once we have an ulterior motive in doing a mitzvah, he said, we may be, in effect, missing the critical parts of a mitzvah. He says, we've got to try to do mitzvahs for the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu asked us to. And even if we don't understand it, we should try to do them, he says, not as rote, but as, oh, this is something a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do. The Sefer Achinuch, in his Sefer, in the introduction, wrote that the reason he's trying to give us Tamei Mitzvahs, the reasons for mitzvahs, is to whet our appetite for them. If we understand, he says, what they're designed to do, hopefully, as thinking people, it becomes more meaningful. But he says, do not in any way think that what I put on this sefer are the only reasons. We have no idea, really, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote a mitzvah. He says we should really have a notion that all of the Torah is a chayk. It's all a requirement that we need not reason for. The significant reason is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. He says, obviously, the paradigm of chok, which Shlomo HaMelech said, is a Torah Duma. And he says, maybe some will try to focus on the reasons. Shlomo HaMelech said, I thought I was wise, but it's far from me. He says, I can't understand it. The Torah, he says, I'm going to tell you a story about the Chofetz Chaim. He was riding in a wagon with the Talmud, and they got out to where they were going, and the Talmud paid the wagon driver. And the Chofetz Chaim turned to the Talmud, and he said, what were the thoughts in your mind as you paid the driver? The Talmud was shocked. He said, I was thinking about the fact that there is a fee for this service, and I want to make sure that I count out an appropriate money. I don't want to shortchange the driver, not one iota. And he said, and then I felt it's important to give a tip even, to make the guy feel good. The Chofetz Chaim said to the Talmud that he should have been thinking about the various mitzvot he was doing as he did the action. He paid an interest, he paid a worker on time. He was sure he wanted to pay the exact amount, not interest. And he was doing chesed and giving a tip. I don't know how many people, right, can get to that level with these types of actions. But he was saying, right, it would be great. Rabbi Rosner says, I want to tell you a story. The other day I was getting a haircut, and there's a sign in the barber shop that while getting a haircut, he said, the barber said, we should consider that we're actually doing six mitzvot, including paying on time and not cutting your mitzvah. He said, it's interesting. The barber, who obviously was a Shomer Torah mitzvah, right, wanted us to consider that even that this so-called mundane activity, right, is a mitzvah, right, has mitzvahs involved. He says, would that we would all get to the level that when we are acting appropriately, and we've been taught to do it, and we're going to do it, that we could have at least the thought that, you know what, I'm doing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, take the staff, assemble the people, you and your brother, speak to the rock in their presence, and it will give water. You will bring water for the people from the rock, and give the congregation and their livestock to drink. So Mish says, Moshe took the staff from before Hashem as he commanded. Moshe and Aaron gathered the people in front of the rock, and he said to them, "Now listen, you rebels, can we draw water for you from this rock?" Moshe raised his hand and struck the rock with his hand twice. An abundance of water gushed forth, and the people and their livestock drank. He says, a second major event that occurs in Parsha Chukat is May Meriva. The waters they argued at. Rabbi Rosner writes, part of this episode, so fascinating, is that the Torah doesn't tell us what exactly happened. Even though this is such a defining moment in the life of Moshe and Aaron, because they lose the ability to go to Eretz Yisroel. He says, let's try to get some idea of what happened. He says, Rashi offers the best known pshat of the sin. He says, the mistake was hitting the rock. Hashem said, speak to it. Had they spoken to it, as Hashem said, there would have been amazing Kiddush Hashem. The people would have said, if an inanimate rock can listen to the word of Hashem, how much more should we do it? This failure to create a Kiddush Hashem ultimately was judged by the Rabbona Shel Olam to be a Chilul Hashem. That's the problem. The Rambam suggests that Moshe's sin was getting angry when he said to the people, listen, you rebels. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave no instruction to express any anger. Moshe acted on his own, and he gave the people the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry to what they were asking, which wasn't the case. The Rambam in Hilchot Deos stresses people should always target the middle path of every character trait. Extremes are dangerous and must be avoided. However, the Rambam says, there are two traits where we have to go to the nth degree, make greatest effort possible, humility and anger. We have to put in the greatest effort to remain humble within ourselves and to avoid getting angry. This anger, right, failed to sanctify Hashem and therefore the result. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and he rejects it. He says, I don't understand. If all Moshe had to do was speak to the rock, what does it mean, take the staff? Moshe had done many, many miracles with the staff, and previously the staff was used to hit a rock to draw water. He says Moshe was obviously going to be necessary for Moshe to strike the rock. How could it be a sin? And he said, let's think for a minute logically. Is it that much a greater miracle to talk to a rock and get water or to hit a rock? He said, go out there and hit 6 billion rocks. You won't get water. This was definitely a gnace. Claudius Roa would realize that this was a miracle. And he said, I cannot in any way comprehend why making water flow from the rock via speech was much greater, or would have been much greater, than what happened. He says, the Ramban says, I don't accept the Rambam's explanation that this sin was as a regout of anger. He says, I'll give you other examples where Moshe got angry at the Jewish people and never was criticized. And therefore, the Ramban says, I'm going to quote from Rabbeinu Hanana. What did Moshe do wrong? What did he say to the people? Shall we draw water from you from this rock? He should have said, watch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide water from the rock. Instead, Moshe implied, it was Moshe and Aaron somehow doing something supernatural. He says, that's why after, when Hashem speaks to Moshe, he said, since you did not have faith in me to sanctify me in the eyes of Bnei Yisroel, the plan was to have an incident where an act of Kiddush Hashem would occur. Instead, Moshe and Aaron seemed to take credit for it, which had the opposite effect, warranting a severe punishment. Rav Yerucham Levavitz explains, how did the punishment fit the crime? We learn in Pirkei Avos that, right, someone who quotes Torah in the name of the person they heard it from, mevi geula l'olam, he brings redemption to the world. Here, Moshe and Aaron failed to enunciate Hashem's credit for the miracle, and therefore they lost the, quote, the redemption, the ability to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Kleyakar, who was Ephraim Shloima Lunschitz of Prague, says, focus on a specific praise that he believes contains the key to understanding what exactly Moshe and Aaron's Aveira was. Hashem tells Moshe, take the staff. If the purpose is to hit the rock, right? I don't understand what he writes here. Oh, he says, do you think that Hashem really meant to hit the rock? Because he says you got to focus on the word the staff. What is the matter? What is the matzah before Hashem? That is the matzah. It's not Moshe's matzah. It's Aaron's matzah. It's the one that's inside the Aron. That's the matzah. The one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the miracle with, that it blossomed and had almonds. Right? And if that is the staff, that staff never hit anything or anyone. Why, pray tell, did Aaron's matzah have to be there? He said, we're now in year 40. Most of these people had never seen the miracles, right, in the first 2 years in the desert. Moshe was told by Hashem, take this staff, which they'll remember was Aaron, and was put in here. And it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made it blossom. Take it and go to the rock. Speak to the rock. Tell the people that this staff is not a magic wand. What it is, it's a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracle. And you're going to see another one. You're going to see that neither Aaron or I are capable or do cause the miracle. The same Rabbeinu Shel Olam who has this staff flush with almonds is going to bring water to you. He said, when you use your wand instead, when you use your staff instead, you've missed this opportunity. This was the missed Kiddush Hashem. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu failed to understand the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give to this new generation. It's a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all, and there is no teva, there is no nature in, right, when Hashem says no. He says, at the end of the day, the Torah doesn't specify what exactly happened. The Mefarshim give us an array of answers, and they give us valuable lessons. And if you look at all of these, Rabbi, who was it? I think Rabbi Leiptag writes that the Abarbanel had numerous proposals as to what went wrong, and he rejected them all. And he said maybe the problem was, we see that Moshe and Aaron, in the face of this difficulty, fell on their faces. Rather than take, he says, a leadership route to make the Jewish people believe in Hashem, they seem to give the appearance of being helpless. He says, Moshe and Aaron were the perfect leaders for Klal Yisroel in the desert. However, in going into Eretz Yisroel, there would be a new reality. The reality of Teva, of actually dealing with nature as it is. It wasn't going to be the first plan A of a miraculous entry. There was going to be war, etc. And Moshe and Aaron, for whatever reason, would be unable to transmit the necessary messages to the nation in Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to arbitrarily take them away and make a statement. You need new leadership, that the old guard can't do it. So instead, we have this supposedly disguised Avera with the rock, a ruse to cover the notion that Hashem wants new leadership. In this way, Hashem can say, the action that occurred at the rock is the reason Aaron and Moshe don't go into Eretz Yisroel. And that is the conclusion, I think, that Rabbi Liebtag reaches. Okay. Thank you for your time.